James said, draw nigh unto God, and he might, he will. You just triggered heaven. Now you just watch what heaven's about to trigger. You just triggered heaven. You're about to be healed in this place. Your sickness, I watched cancer disappear on this side of the building. I don't know who has a lineage of cancer in your family line, but God's removing the fear of that out of it. And then I felt the wind come across my cheek. And I knew it wasn't my wife. She's not here. I knew it was the lover of my soul. He is here. Jesus is about to breathe presence in permanency, where it causes things that couldn't change before to start changing right now. I recognize this atmosphere. It's angelic. This house is loaded with angels. And God's about to cause presence to attach itself to your house, to your stuff, to your circumstance. Clap your hands before you're seated. Seated a week ago, approximately, an atmosphere, presence of the Lord in the form of the miraculous attached itself to me. About a week ago, they chose to sing this song. We just both happened to show up at the same time. Coincidence? I don't think so. There's only incidents in the house of the King. And God has prepared a presence to overtake your problem. And that presence needs some nurturing. And I want you to take something home with you, not just a good sermon. This is a good sermon. It could qualify, because I've heard bad ones, and this ain't one of those. Like a preacher once said, I always try to get something good out of a sermon. He said, I've had several close calls. But I'm not bringing a sermon. There's a word from God to his people. And he wants his people to entertain what he's loosing on the planet. And he's loosing a presence, an atmosphere that he wants you to nurture tomorrow. He wants you to nurture it on Tuesday. Think about this. I was meditating on the Lord, and these words came to me. Jesus doesn't want to answer your prayer. He wants to be your answer. Your answer for questions, your answer for troubles, your answer for doubt, your answer for cares, your answer for cures, your answer for family, your answer for identity. He just wants to be your answer. When God turns into a God who just answers your prayer, he's not the answer, he's an answer. What if God became the answer? And you thought about looking him up before you Googled it. You thought of talking to him before you called your doctor. You thought of inquiring of the Lord before you inquired for a new credit card. You thought of seeking his counsel before you thought of checking with your attorney. What if you actually reversed the order of approach? And you thought about the king before you thought about unemployment. And you thought about the resources of heaven before you thought about your options. Society has a pressure tank, an ability to press us into a corner to change protocol and cause process to be based on what we've learned, repetitive cycle, instead of approaching the king. Accident took place. Young man jumped out of his car. He was in Bible school. He was from Africa. He didn't know any better. He wasn't tied to our American system. So because he wasn't raised with a cycle of using the options available to him, it's like one pastor told me in Africa, he said, living for God is easy for us. He said, we only have God. He said, so it's easy to choose. He said, for you, he said, it's much more difficult. He said, for you, you have everything. He said, but it's a great miracle because you choose God. And I thought, that's a good perspective. Everybody that made it here to this house today, you are a product of making a miraculous choice. Because in the midst of every option we have out there, you chose to make it to the house of God this morning. You talk about faith. When you got 1,000 options and you choose to come to the house of God because the impossible has showed up, and now the presence of God is about to show up in the midst of impossible. That's when nothing becomes impossible. That's when all things become possible with him who is able to do. That's when the thing that seems ridiculous all of a sudden becomes probable, because the God who makes all things and without him was not anything made that was made, walks into your unmade circumstance and turns it. Look at your neighbor, say, he's about to turn it. Oh, that sounded Baptist. Come on, look at him and tell him, he's about to turn it. Come on, you need to start believing that. Why? I know what just walked in here. I know who just walked in here. And I know what happens when the king steps over the portal of glory and steps into humanity's terra firma. Something's going to change. God brought a story to my mind a little while ago in the office, and he said, I'm about to become something to somebody in this house that could not be, because they wouldn't give me access, but today they're going to give me access. You know, you think of that terminology. You think about somebody that, I hear it. You think about somebody that maybe isn't opening themselves. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about habitual patterns that get a hold of the church because of the society we live in. And we can get accustomed to process, because it's all around us and it's pressuring us every day and it's in every ad, and it's, you can't even listen to Spotify Christian music without getting an ad of offering you something. When you're too cheap and you want the free account, you get the ads. Pay the money. Get rid of the ads. I'm sorry. What if he became the only wise God? That African stopped the car and got out. Somebody had gotten badly injured and they were on the floor and they were dying. He said, the Lord told me to stop. So I just obeyed. He said, I got out of the car. I went over. They looked at me, said, are you a doctor? He said, no, but I have Jesus. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, that means I'm going to pray in Jesus' name and he's going to get up. They just stepped back and looked at him like, you're out of your mind. Because you only get a few minutes before the emergency crew shows up. So he knelt down. He said, Lord, I'm just obeying you in Jesus' name. I'm asking you now to do what you said you were going to do. Make this man come alive and come out of this death situation. The man got up. And he looked around. He said, what am I doing on the ground? God healed whatever was wrong with him. I don't know the details. Who cares? At that point, somebody just needs to shout. At that point, somebody just needs to say, hey, presence of God just showed up. An atmosphere just changed. Something's about to show up in your house, in your school, in your car, on your job. I'm telling you, something's going home with you. I couldn't get through the song service without crying because the presence is so pressed on me. And I've heard those songs before. Presence is determined to eradicate the stuff that becomes peripheral so we can get to him. Get to him. Shock treatment is about to happen in some of your worlds. God's about to shock the enemy's voice to a shutdown. You think the government had a shutdown? Hell's about to have a shutdown. That ain't no shutdown compared to what heaven is about to do. Why? Because only God knows how to shut the mouth of a lion. He did it for Daniel. He did it on the cross. And he's doing it in this house right now. He's going to shut down the voice of fear, the voice of depression, the voice of loneliness, the voice of sickness, the voice of weariness, the voice of stress, the voice... Oh, somebody give a praise. Somebody give a shout. Oh, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let your voice be heard. Let your voice shock the atmosphere. Make an invitation. Make an invitation to what you're feeling. Presence. It's coming close. I was outside of St. Louis. It was a daughter work when Brother Jones was pastoring in a town an hour and a half from there. I can't remember the name of the little town. The brother that was pastoring worked at headquarters. You remember his name? Yes, Brother Duane. He had a church in what town? Yeah, I think that's correct. We were in the middle of doing this two revival in one, two for one deal. Brother Jones always likes the best package, you know. He's going to squeeze you for all he can get. Brother Johns is nicer. And you can tell him that too. So we are preaching this back-to-back revival. And we go out. It's a Tuesday night. It's the last night of the revival. And this is a church trying to be built. And you know, the pressure that comes when you're trying to take an area is similar to Gadara. Yeah. You know, just hell gets real uncomfortable when we show up. And if hell's not comfortable when you get home, there's something wrong in your home. You need to change the presence of your home. And I'm going to show you how to do that. I'm telling you, it works, it works, it works, it works. You're going to change the presence in your home. You're going to have peace in your house. You're going to have joy in your house. You're going to have stuff that makes you want to go home. Some of you don't want to go back to your houses. That's why you work extra hours. The Lord's talking to me right now. I can call some of you out, but I won't. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to help you. But I'm telling you, the reason you feel a scatter when you get home and you feel antsy is because there's a presence that you keep attracting, and God says, I want to be that presence. So anything else doesn't even have an appeal to want to show up at your house. My God. So I was in the middle of preaching, and we were outdoors, and all of a sudden, I just finished saying out of Timothy, and perilous times shall come. I'm careful the statements I make now, because I've had this happen to me multiple times, like before you get to the other side and a woman drops over dead in church. I'm like, there she goes to the other side. And then, so we had 15 minutes, and they prayed, and she resurrected talking in tongues, and 8 people got the Holy Ghost. I thought that turned out good. Praise God. So I'm saying, I'm preaching, perilous times shall come. I hear an explosion, and I look over to my right, and there's a pile of cars that have just had a massive accident right to the right of where we're having church. And as the car goes flinging around, the woman gets launched out of the vehicle, out of the window, and goes smashing into metal buildings right to the right of us while we're in the middle of church. Well, I just finished preaching the power of God in the middle of perilous times, so an usher took my word for it. He took off running over there to go see what he could do. And there lies a dead woman. She's bleeding. Her legs are split by the metal that just chopped her into pieces. Her legs are split wide open. There's blood pouring out. She's convulsing and she's dying. And she dies right in front of him, and he's looking at her, and he's thinking about what God said. God just showed up. God's the resurrection. God is the life. I've got God in me. I've got the Holy Ghost. I can speak to this death situation. So the devil got a little nervous, and he figured he'd take a dead body, because that's the only kind of body he can take. You got trouble with the enemy, it's probably because you're not very alive in the church. You got some deadness to you, and he's picking on you because of it. Just get some life. Why? The Spirit gives life. When you get the life of the Spirit, the death of hell doesn't have a clang or a hold on you. I'm telling you. Say, well, you don't understand my situation. Stop saying that. Your situation is about to change. Kind of like trying to talk to somebody that lives a sodomite lifestyle. You say, well, that's the way I was born. Just tell them, we ain't talking about how you were born. We're talking about being born again. We're not talking, I'm not addressing that lifestyle. I'm addressing the one you're about to have. I'm addressing the one that's about to change you. I'm addressing the one that's about to turn your life right side up. Presence. When God's presence shows up, anything can. That guy looked down at that girl that just had died, and the devil took a hold of her. She was dead. So he came inside her and said, "Now." Started trying to talk to the guy. Thought he'd try to make her afraid, make him afraid. He looked down. He said, "How dare you tell me no?" He said, I have the power of God. I have the Holy Ghost. I command you to shut up. I said, great. That's the only one you want to tell that to. Not the girl, the devil. He said, you shut up and you come out of there. You have no business in this body. You get out right now. When he said that, she started coughing up blood and came back to life. When she came back to life, the EMT group had just shown up, and they were calling each other over saying, you got to come see this. We have never seen anything like this in our lives. They looked down. Her legs, her thighs are split open with metal, and it's not bleeding. What does that mean? That means God literally stop the blood from coming out of her body, and the blood stayed in her body while she was split wide open. See, you're trying to figure that out. I'm trying to tell you that when God shows up, you're not going to be able to figure it out. You're not going to know how it changed. You've just got to start believing and having faith. I'm just testing some of you, and you're failing. You got a C in this class. And that C means, come on, get with it. Why? You're using your brain going, but how did all that, how can that happen? You're in the wrong zone. You're in that, let me check Wikipedia zone. You're in that, let me see if my doctor approves of that zone. See, here's the problem. We go to doctors, counselors, accountants, et cetera, and then we bring that to God. Instead of going to God and telling the counselor, let me bring this to you. This is what's going to work. Why? Because I heard from the only wise God. He's been at my house. He's with me on my job. I can feel him when I'm in my car. I can feel him all the time. And his presence just starts speaking stuff to me. It starts giving me resolve and results and answers and begins to talk to me before I ask the questions. You say, is that possible? Totally possible. It's just we haven't nourished it long enough to test it. Let's nourish it. I try to teach my daughter, let's nourish this atmosphere. Let's talk to Jesus, and then let's talk to the angels. We've been doing that since she could understand, before she could understand. We'd pray and get done praying, talking to Jesus. I said, okay, now let's greet the angels. Hi, angels. You know what started happening? They started showing up. She's 5 years old. She goes with my wife to Brother Harper's church, Edwin Harper's church. They were having a district ladies meeting for West Virginia in Parkersburg, I think he's at, or Huntington, West Virginia, somewhere out there. It all looks the same to me. So they're in this church, Brother Harper, Edwin Harper's church, and there's probably 1,000 ladies. And so my wife calls me on the phone. She said, we had an interesting thing happen. I said, what happened? She said, well, Brother Harper has a balcony up on one of the walls, and they have canes and wheelchairs and casts and different things up there from people that got miraculously healed. They keep them up on that wall as a sign of the victory of God. I said, oh, okay. She said, but I was speaking, and we got to praying, and Charity got loose. Watch it, Charity's on the loose. Not you fellas. Not that kind of loose. And I got, never mind. And so she ran around. The ladies were praying in groups, and she started tugging on their dresses, and she started looking up at the balcony. She said, see, don't you see the lady? Don't you see the lady? I said, what'd she look like, Charity? She said, oh, she had long, beautiful hair. Of course it would be long and beautiful. Praise the Lord. And it was a female angel. That makes sense. It was a female meeting. See, there you go again. Well, I ain't never heard of that. Well, it's because you ain't ever been anywhere. In the spirit. God's got more ideas than you got question marks. So she said, how's a five-year-old going to make that up? Right? She says, look, the lady, lights out. She disappeared. Just like a five-year-old. So she tells me about it, and I said, okay, here's what's going to happen. That angel's going to show up again. The next time it shows up, you're going to call for miracles. There's going to be a massive outpouring of miracles take place. I'm telling you, when presence shows up, things start shifting in a heartbeat, because God starts causing things that were not to become. He's the one that calls those things that are not as though they were, as though they already are happening. Why? Because he called them into being before your circumstance ever changed. So when his presence shows up, that's your signal to understand something's about to change. I need to prepare myself, my arena, my language, my speech, my approach, my perception, my outlook, because something just came to my house and something is about to turn. Present. Present. Sure enough, Saturday, last service of the ladies' meeting, because my wife tried to tell them, and they kind of did what some of you did. Oh, that's cute. So some of them said. I said, cute. They ain't cute. Something's about to happen. I don't know how you get cute out of that. Heaven just came down to earth. That ain't cute. That's monumental. Cute is this right here. That's cute. That's cute. She started running around again. The ladies were praying. She started running around. She said, look, she's back. She's back, the lady. She's back. You see her? She's back. Running around from group to group. So one of the ladies that was taking care of her ran up to my wife. She said, she's saying the lady's back. Oh, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. You've ordained strength, oh God. My wife got up to that pulpit. She said, there's going to be miracles right now. Everybody raise your hands. She spoke a word of faith. Instantly, 250 women were healed of all kinds of diseases, infections, blind eyes, deaf ears. God started literally turning the case around. When you feel the presence begin to show up, prepare your mind, prepare your spirit, prepare, forget your report, forget what the doctor said, forget what the lawyer suggested, forget what society pressed upon you. Open the windows of your faith, open your soul, let your spirit begin to cry out. There were all kinds of miracles that took place. He showed up in what used to be Brother Yandris's church is now Sam Emery's church in Merced, California. You could smell it that time. Presence showed up, and I got to be honest with you. I remember that smell, but I don't remember it in the right way. And ushers were walking down the aisles because this is not the best part of town. And I thought, that smells like marijuana. Well, it's legal now, so you can take the pill. And apparently that's okay. Just how far will we go? At some point, we're going to have to draw a line and say, you know what? I've got faith in God. It seems to me, Pastor, that God's kind of forcing us into that corner, that it's getting so radical in Babylon that we're actually going to finally say, no, we're not bound. Throw us in the fire if you want to, but the fourth man's about to show up. Throw us in the lion's den if you have to, but an angel's about to appear. Why? Not because I'm desperate, but because I've been praying. I've been nurturing an atmosphere, and because I'm nurturing the presence of God, an angel shows up. Not because it's an emergency. Luke 18:1 says that there was this woman. She was dealing with a society similar to ours, with an unjust judge who didn't fear God. Can I get a witness? We got some unjust judges that don't fear God and that didn't fear man. We got some unjust judges that don't fear man. We're there. I thought, wow, that sounds like us. Cool. Why? Because when it sounds like us, whatever shows up in that story is going to show up for us. When you read a story in the Bible and it has some similarities, get excited. Because the result has the same potential within your arena. It's not so far removed that it cannot happen. So that's why I like telling 21st century stories. That way you don't think they're so old or so distant that it can't happen to you. And so I keep telling the Lord, you know, give me new stories. I got to have new stories. Like the one that just happened last week. How do I know there's miracles in this room? I know they started last week. I don't know why. I can't define it. I'm not here to be the explainer. God's not in the business of explaining himself. He's in the business of revealing himself. So I thought, wow, it's like not a few miracles, a whole bunch of them. So I walked into Chicago last week. We had a minister's meeting, then I stayed over and preached for Pastor Betcher there outside of Chicago in the suburbs, and we were in service, and one of the daughter works canceled their service so they could be in our service, and there was a lady that he brought, and the lady's a new convert, her and her husband, their little baby. They shouldn't even be alive. The little baby was born by a miraculous intervention. She was 1.5 pounds at birth and made it. I thought, wow, if God doesn't have his hand on these people, I don't know who does. He's been trying to pull them in for a while. So she's at the altar. He says, Pastor, can you please pray for her? I'm not a pastor, but that's what a lot of people, they only have a one mentality concept of the fivefold ministry, and that's okay. And so he said, come over here so we can pray. And I said, sure. She's got kidneys that haven't worked for 7 years. So they've been doing dialysis. They've been basically sustaining her with that process, and her kidneys are dead. She really believes God will give her a miracle. I said, I believe God will give her a miracle. Why? Because I knew presence showed up, and I started hearing things spoken to me like, I'm going to heal. I'm going to deliver. Same things in this house. It's so thick on me right now, I can't hardly stand it. I'm not just talking about what you currently have. I'm talking about your DNA. I'm talking about your cell base. I'm talking about your childhood sicknesses, like the one Rich Brown's, amen, one of his teenage boys was born with asthma, never had a good day in his life until the day God came and just changed with the presence of God, and his asthma just left, and it's been gone ever since. That's the kind of stuff that's in this room. That's the kind of presence of God that's in this place. But I want you to think bigger than your problem, bigger than what you've struggled with, bigger than what you're going through. Think bigger, because this is bigger than that. It's an attachment of an entire system that's full of miracles, like when Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. That wasn't the only miracle he had inside of him. He just gave one out that he had. It's like extra. It's a whole container. That's what's in this room. God is trying to literally put an entire container of miracles. So when you leave here, you don't just have enough for yourself. You have enough for yourself and everybody else he's going to lead you to. Oh, so I went over to her. We started to pray. You could feel her passion. I was praying, and I could feel heat coming through my body, and that's an indication for me that there's healing being transmitted from heaven. And I said, are you feeling heat? And she said, yeah. She's just crying and crying. And she said, I'm feeling it. It's coming. It's coming. She couldn't hardly talk. She's just crying. I said, it's okay. Keep receiving it. Just take it in like a cup receiving water. Just get all of it. Get all of it. Take it in. So she's just trembling and trembling for a good while. And so when we got done praying, he came over to me. He said, you got to hear this. I said, what happened? She said, for 7 years, my kidneys have been dead. I've had no feeling down here. She said, I can feel both of them. She said, both of my kidneys have come alive. See, you're waiting for the report before you shout. What you need to do is learn how to shout before you get the report. That way you're not dependent on the report. You're dependent on your faith. So I don't go to the doctor to prove God was right. I go to the doctor so the God that was right in the first place can show the doctor what he's just done. The doctor's not my proof. The evidence that I sense in my body is the proof. You ever watch somebody get healed and then lose it? I have. I watched a man in North America in the last 10 years with a crippled arm like this in the church with faith. And I was in the middle of preaching and I just stopped. It just hit me. Usually I say it before I think. That's why God uses me. Not that you can't do it the other way around, but I'd probably get in the way. He knows me. Somebody else wouldn't. But I would probably. And so he just, before I could think, here I am. And I'm looking at him and I go, stretch forth thine arm. And everybody went, and his arm went. Everybody saw it. The entire congregation went. They were about to blow up shouting and he went. And he never stretched it out again. And I asked him after church. I said, what'd you do that for? I said, you were healed. He said, I know I was. He said, I know. And I looked at my hand and my brain got afraid. And he said, fear caused me to retract it. And he died that way. And I thought, there's a bunch of miracles in this atmosphere if we'll just get out of the way. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. What about you? Just lay your hand on somebody right now you don't live with. If it's possible, lay your hand on somebody you don't live with right now. Say, Lord, such as I have, give I them. In the name of Jesus Christ, let their body receive what the Spirit has released. Let their mind receive what the Spirit has released. Let their emotions receive what the Spirit is loosing. Let their subconscious receive. Somebody give a great shout unto God right now. That's it, take it in. That's it, take it in. That's it, let it begin to process. What? Right there on the internet, take it in. Throw your hands in the air. Take what's coming to your house. Take what's coming into your place. Shaka talaboda hatakayana. He said, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. You know, it just hit me. There's 108 references of the word presence in the Bible. The first one is when Adam and Eve, because of shame and sin, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Because shame, sin will always cause you to run because you think God's trying to judge you. He's actually trying to save you. So if you got trouble in your life right now, you say, but you don't know how I've been living, what's been going. Look, God's not coming to kill you. He's coming to change your atmosphere so his voice can become clear again. The last reference, the 108th reference, is found in Revelation 14, and it says that the presence of angels and the presence of God would become a perpetual, everlasting torment to the devil and his demons. And it just hit me right now as I'm reading this story. The unjust judge said, because this widow troubleth me, I'm going to let go. When that presence of God comes and you start nurturing it, hell is going to let go, because there's torment for him and blessing for you in the presence of God. That's why the Bible says in Psalms chapter 16, he will show me the path of life. In his presence is fullness of joy. Here comes your joy. Why? Because hell's about to exit your environment. Here comes your joy. Why? Because pressure is about to leave your borders. Here comes your joy. Why? Because demons are about to retract of what they've been putting on your house. Oh, somebody give a praise. Somebody give a shout. Rakata. I hear that organ. Not that one. I just heard it twice. I've heard it before. Literally. I was in California, Redlands, California. Somebody started playing the organ while I was preaching. I looked, there was nobody on the organ. I went, oh my God. I said, I just heard heaven play the organ. 11 people raised their hands. Pastor told me later, he said, man, I was really feeling bad. I didn't hear a thing. I said, that's because you have to hear all the stuff from the people. Sometimes it makes it hard to hear. That's why they bring people like me. Amen. So I'm not telling you've been doing that to him. Said, man, it's so bad you brought me 3 times. He didn't say that. I didn't say that. I'm kidding. But you know what he said about this parable? He's talking about that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And those are the two components that are caveats for us. They're like the stumbling block. It's like, when do we have time to pray? He said, you're actually never supposed to stop. I thought, what causes a person to have faith and prayer more often than when there's presence? When God shows up, I want to pray. Like really super early this morning when I did not want to get up. And it may have been 55 plus, I don't know. I ain't going to say God said, hey, get up. But he didn't say go back to sleep either. Sometimes omission of no words is an obvious indication. So I laid there for an hour, I got to be honest. So I finally got, I said, okay, I'm not going to grumble over this. I'm going to entertain this because I want to see what's in this room. Did you know that when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, that it was silent for 6 days? God didn't start talking. Go back and read it. God didn't start talking for 6 days. There was 6 days. Man, we would have clocked out. So I'm busy, God. If you don't hurry up, I got things to do, man. People to see, places to go. Moses got up there and said, hello. Hello. Wrong mountain? God, and the cloud covered him. Now he's not only not hearing, he's not seeing. People are looking up there going, something's going on up there. Moses is looking up there going, nothing's going on up here. But you know what? Nothing in the scripture says he couldn't feel. You know what kept him there? because he recognized the atmosphere. You don't need to hear anything when you understand where you're sitting. That's why he waited 6 days. He knew whatever's coming is big. If God's taken this long to talk, when he didn't take near this long to talk out of a burning bush, I don't know what he's about to say, but it's going to do something better than what he did in Egypt. Why? Because what he would do there would change their entire culture. They had an Egyptian culture. And God was about to lay out a plan to completely change their culture. That's why when you come into church, you can't come into church and keep your same culture. Yeah, your food and all that stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the culture of the world. When you leave that world and you leave Egypt, God's intending on giving you a Christ culture. He's about to change your thought process, your speech process, your response process, your reaction process. Why? Because he's got a better kingdom. It's got a better way. That's got a better way of thinking, seeing, hearing, perceiving, and speaking. Silence. Then God talks. Boom. The man opens up the book. I love what he did. He told Moses all the stuff he's going to do, the tabernacle he's going to build. And you know what Moses is probably thinking? What any good pastor would think. Okay, so-and-so could do that. So-and-so could do that part. Right? You start strategizing because you got talent, right? But think about this for a second. When presence showed up, it said they're going to do stuff they've never done before. Watch this. They were slaves. They only knew how to make brick out of mortar. They didn't know how to beat silver or gold or make tools. They'd never done that. It's in your Bible, actually. And actually, God waits. God's so cool, but like sometimes we don't feel it's cool because he waits, we think, till the last minute. But he's right on time. But we don't say right on time until it's over. We tell everybody else, it was right on time. Yeah, you weren't thinking that when you were going through it. And so Moses is processing. I mean, you got to read it. It's like 4 or 5 chapters, and God's just telling them, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. And thinking, if I do all that, I'll be dead. And I don't have any people. Out of all these people, millions of people that I have, none of these people can do any of that. And when he gets to the end, he said, oh, by the way, I am going to anoint Bezalel. And I'm going to give him the wisdom and the talent. And so from one day to the next, he could do something he had never even thought of being able to do. So God gifted him with something that he woke up the next morning and could actually do it. You know what's amazing to me? He uses the word cunning, which means that you're a professional at it. He uses the word cunning works twice. Why? Because when presence shows up, there's impartation that comes with it. We are loaded for bear in this house right now. I'm telling you, there is so much stuff God has in the container that's in this atmosphere. You just need to get in a receptive mode, not a question mode, not a wonder mode, not a fix my stuff mode, just a wide open mode. God, pour into me everything that you've brought in this house here today. Before I leave, I want everything you have to attach itself to my world. That way, by the time I get home, I'm talking different, I'm looking different, I'm perceiving different, I'm approaching everything different. Why? Because presence in his presence is what? Fullness. Do you hear that word? Do you hear that word? Do you hear that word? Fullness. Everybody say fullness. You know what fullness means? That means there's no room for anything else. That means every nook and cranny and every gap in space. That means every empty place and every place where you wondered or questioned. He said, I'm going to fill all. Get my atmosphere, you start nurturing my presence. You know what happens to us so often? God moves like this in this service. We go home and we don't change our speech. First Peter, throw that scripture of First Peter up that I have for the media team up there. Watch this. Peter's having this discussion about salvation, about the patriarchs, talking about the day that's coming. And he says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, talking about the patriarchs of old that are talking about this day that's coming that we get to enjoy, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel. Keep going, verse 13. And unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And it hit me. I started going back through stories and stories and stories of how that when people had certain speeches, certain things would show up. And certain speeches draw angels, and certain speeches draw fallen angels. That's why you can pray for somebody, they'll get delivered. They get set free. They go home, and 3 months later, you're praying for the same thing. What happened? Nothing changed. You didn't nurture the presence that went with you. You nurtured the other stuff, and you attracted the other to come back. So you left the door wide open. That's why it's called a familiar spirit in Leviticus. Why? It's become familiar. You don't resist it. It comes to the door and you say, oh, it's just you. And you don't put up a fight. You got used to it. What God is saying, I'm going to send an atmosphere that will be a hedge round about you. You know what that means? Think about Job. What did Satan say to God about Job? He said, I can't get to him. Why? You got a hedge round about him. What kind of hedge was that? That was the atmosphere of God. That was the presence of the Lord. Why? That's why the psalmist said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about we who fear him and delivereth us. Why? God put a hedge round about. So when you get in an atmosphere like this, God attaches that presence to keep you separated. Oh. Lift your hands. Here comes the miracles right now in your body. Correba, down your spine, down through. Rico, somebody's lymph nodes are getting healed right now. Somebody's lymph nodes just came to my spirit. Your lymph nodes are, amen, receiving nurture and healing. Rokata katalabahaya, down your spine on the left side. Urikata, where there's been a perpetual strain and stress, God is relieving the left side of your spine. Roko sokotelebo roko. And the pressure that's been all the way down to L number 7. Rokotoko Rebosho is releasing off of your Ikoremo disc in the Lekotoko Sata. Oreko Sata Katalabahaya. Right there. What you feel right there, entertain that, everybody. Everybody. Just talk in tongues a little bit for about 30 seconds if the Holy Ghost will let you. Just talk in tongues. That's it. You know what's happening to you? God's detaching the other stuff, and he's attaching. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, just say hallelujah. God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost right now if you'll let him. Just worship the Lord with hallelujah. That means I give all myself to Jesus, Jehovah. And right in the middle of that, receive ye the Holy. The Holy Ghost begin to speak as the Spirit gives you utterance, words and sounds that are not familiar to your English language. That's the Spirit of the Lord giving you access, amen, to celestial, amen, divine intervention from God. You cried a long time, sister. Tears finished today. Your tears finished today. Weeping has endured for a night. Joy cometh in the morning. No longer approach me based on your losses. Now approach me based on the gains. I'm about to reveal my gains unto you, but I need you to approach me based on the gains. I gave you promises that have gone dormant and the seed seemed to die, but it has not died. This day I stop your tears. This day the dormancy ends. This day approach me because of promise, not because of pain. Satakatalabahaya. Shakatalabahaya. Peace, peace. I want you to lift both of your hands, sister. And I want you to shout peace. Peace. One more time. And one more time. There are three elements that peace are coming over, and they're going to touch the financial sector of your world. They're going to touch the emotional sector of your world, and they're going to touch the family sector of your world. Peace is coming upon all three. The Lord says it starts now. That's it. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Give God praise. Give God praise. Your ministry is not too far away, but don't get in a hurry. They that wait upon the Lord, amen, shall be strengthened, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. I gave you wings, but I had to clip them for a season, but be not despondent over the clipping, for I am preparing, saith the Lord, that I may use you. Come on, clap your hands again. Give voice to what's happening. It is the Lord of glory. It is the Lord of strength. It is the Lord of power. I will let you see what I promised you, for your life has been precious with prayers in vials, and you shall see in your latter days, like the prophet did with your eyes shall behold the salvation of what you thought was lost. Just lift both your hands in the air and shout unto God right now. Would you do that? Take it on you. Take it on you. Take it on you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. The pressure. Come out. The pressure. Come out. Rocco. That's it, sister. Go ahead. There goes that pressure. It's coming out. Raka shatahai. Raka toleboro. Raka talabahata kataya. Clap your hands, all you people. I want you to tell the Lord right now, I let my mind go from the things I was thinking that you could do. Tell him, I let my mind go from the things I was thinking you could do. Now look at somebody else, say, it's bigger than that. Who already got healed? Who already got healed? If you got healed, you feel something in your body that changed, raise your hand and wave it. Who already got healed? Who already got healed? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24. Keep waving your hand. 26, 28, 30, 32. There's about 32 people that have already felt a difference in your physical frame. You can tell who got better. It's not completely gone, but it's got better. If you waved your hand before, don't wave your hand now, but you got better. It's not completely gone. Wave your hand. Wave your hand. 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 50, 1, 52, 53, 54. There's at least 54 people that have either gotten a miracle or a healing has started inside of your body. Okay? Now, I want those 54 people that just raised your hand to stand up and stretch your hand to your right and to your left and touch somebody on your right hand and on your left hand and begin to share what came upon you, because it wasn't just one miracle. It's an attachment. It's an attachment. So I want this thing to spread like a bonfire. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, presence has come into your atmosphere. Presence has come into your mindset. Don't divert. Don't revert back. Begin to entertain what has come to you. You have drawn nigh unto God, and God has taken that as a yes signal from you. And now he is going to bring the exponential that comes out of his throne into your arena and my arena, to be able to live with us and exist and have a consistent atmosphere where we can pray always with faith. Let's stand, let's stand, let's stand, let's stand. This is escalating. I hope I'm not taking too long. I want you to think with your mind what heaven looks like. Your guess is as good as mine. I've got friends that have been there. My dad went there, came back. He told me. It was amazing what he saw, what others have seen. Brother Reeves went unfairly too many times. I'm still a little bent on that one. I'm talking to the Lord about it, because I'm serious. I'm like Cher. Seriously here. Not just one person. Come on. I mean, it happened in the men people with Brother Abby. The men people are outside of China. It's a men group. They have a very basic language. They all went out of their body. They all met Jesus. Because nobody could interpret in their language. They didn't have the words. And so the Lord took all 26, pardon me, took all 26 people out of their bodies. They all told the exact same story. They got busted through this dark cloud, met Jesus, and he said, you have to go back and obey what the man of God said. That's how powerful the man of God is in a pulpit. And they came back, and the reason they were saying no when they came back is they didn't want to leave. They had just met Jesus, and they don't have Bibles. They didn't have any education. They didn't know anything about Christianity. And so they were telling him, no, no, we don't want to go back. But he sent them back into their bodies. When they came to, they told the story, and they just said, tell us what we must do. And they all got baptized, and they all received the Holy Ghost, and they all came into the church. And I thought, wow. So think about what you're engaging in has just been loosed upon you from heaven. Don't spoil it when you get home. Maintain this with right conversation, because right conversation, discussions about redemption and celestial things, bring an invitation to celestial hosts. Whereas when you start talking trash, it attracts the other. Does that make sense? Mama used to say it like this. Dime con quien andas y te digo con quien eres. O con quien vas. Which means to say, tell me who you run with and I'll tell you who you are. She never asked me where I was. When I came home, she asked me who I was with. Because if she could know who I was with, she would know where I was. She was pretty smart that way. I didn't figure that out till later. But what I'm trying to tell you is something just happened in this room. And you need to nurture it when you go home. Because there's no telling what's going to show up at your house this week. I don't know if angels are going to show up. I don't know if the administration of dreams and visions are going to show up, but when this kind of stuff happens, very often I'll go into visions, I'll go into dreams, I'll get into visitations. I just start nurturing it. Why? You think it's just one service worth? No. What just got loosed in this atmosphere, it'll make your enemies scatter. It'll make stuff happen in your world. You think, how did that just happen? Atmosphere, presence. Presence just overtook your world. My, you feel peace? There's a reason for that. Yeah, you feel strength right now, some of you that were weak? There's a reason for that. You just got detached from all the stuff that's been hitting you left and right, and God said, we're going to fix this in one service. Now take it home with you. It's not leaving you. If you'll nourish this and take it home with you, it'll start blossoming. You'll start having atmosphere changes with your kids. I want you to come forward, and while you're coming forward, Lord just brought something to my attention. We're going to pray for each other. Come on. Come on. If you don't want to take it home, just stay there then. I'll take yours. But come on. But I want to tell you this story. I hadn't thought of this even longer. This was in Kansas City, Missouri. It was a man out of Brother Stan Gleason's church. And there was a lady in their neighborhood. Come on in. Get as close as you can, if you can. I know it's tight, but as close as you possibly can. And then they had a prayer deal at one of the houses, and the lady came over and she said, I've got a lot of problems in my house. She said, I really need a miracle. And these were well-to-do people. And the brother from the church looked at her and said, I don't know what this means, ma'am. He said, but I see horrible rock figure posters in a room. She said, that's my son's room. She said, he memorizes the words from rock albums. And he's got filing cabinets, and he's memorized all those songs. And she said, our house is under horrible, horrible pressure. And she said, my husband is the South, what would that be, the Southwest? Or no, that's not the Southwest. What region? Midwest. He is the Midwest regional head of psychology in the medical field. The guy was in charge of an entire region. And he's on a business trip right now. And I saw your sign, and I just wondered if you could just pray one time. He said, oh, we'll do better than that. He said, can we go to your house and pray? She said, sure, come on over. So they got their stuff together, and they walked down the street, walked into that house, and started pleading the blood of Jesus. You know what they brought? Atmosphere. They'd been in a prayer meeting, and the Spirit of God was upon them, and the gifts of the Spirit started to work. And they brought that atmosphere in that house, and those devils went nuts. That boy wasn't there. But they began to pray those spirits out, and began to take all those posters down. When the boy got home, he walked in the room, and he stepped back, and he turned around. He said, Mom. He said, what happened in here? She said, why? He said, all my posters are gone. She said, yeah. What's wrong? She said, well, I don't even want them. She said, He said, I don't even know why I had them on the walls. He said, I feel like I don't even want to sing those songs anymore. He said, what did you do? Said, Mom, I'm sorry. He literally changed in one moment when he walked in that atmosphere. That's how powerful it was. So they prayed together, and she got the Holy Ghost. And the boy, I think the boy got the Holy Ghost. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. 2 days later, Here comes the dad. Says, "What have you done, sir?" He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You're the one that came to our house, right?" He said, "Yes." He said, "You guys are the ones that prayed, right?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "What's in your prayer stuff?" He said, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "No, I don't." He said, "Let me introduce myself." He introduced, he said, "I am the Midwest Regional Director of Psychology." He said, "I have counseled people with conditions as horrible as my son's, but I've never been able to help my son." And he said, "I leave for a weekend and I come back and my entire family's different. What has happened here?" That's what you're taking home. That's what's following you back to your jobs. That's what's following you back to your houses. That's what's following you back to your situations and your circumstances. Clap your hands unto the Lord. God is about to loose more miracles than you've got issues. There's more Jesus in this house than you've got circumstances.